This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
the incredible Broski in a Bottle. With just one chug of this amazing stuff, I could change myself from announcer geek to Broski chic, baby. With just one Broski in a bottle, you'll be taking care and spiking your hair. You're gonna go from pale white to tanned up and out of sight, baby. Just one swig will take you from goofy outsider to attracting babes like my boy Zack Ryder. Just one little bottle and you'll be fist pumping full throttle. Ah, yes, it's Broski in a bottle, baby. Get it right now and don't delay. It'll put a little more woo 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 in your day.
Are you serious, bro? All I needed. Okay. But Zack Ryder is not going to be appearing on our show tonight because this is where we talk about wrestling, not have wrestlers come in and run over the event. This is North American Wrestling sponsored by WrestleChat. I am humble host, Nikki Heyman, and I have another unusual crew on hand tonight. First, WWE in his backyard, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Hit him with the folding chair. How you doing out there?
Awesome. Awesome. And from the slowly thawing Great White North, Ms. Trista Timpson.
Yay. Routine.
I am so glad to have you back on the show, dear. And our number four. Yay. And I apologize, I have walked all over you talking again. And our number four, as always, Mr. Fourth.
I'm just glad that Mattel hasn't chosen to fire anyone else based on necktie-related violence.
Although, you give us something that we should really start off with. The mysterious case of Tygate. That would be Tygate 2 tonight.
Is that the
one
theme
of the,
from Poirot?
The soundbite is called Soapbox, so I'm not sure exactly where it came from.
Okay, never mind.
But One of the more entertaining segments on this past Monday's Raw, I'm sad to say, did involve Michael Cole in the fact that Jerry Lawler came this close to getting his hands on him when Cole decided to hide in the coal mine, but Lawler was able to not only toss a chair in, but get his hands on Michael Cole's tie and bang his face against the coal mine, produced a very big face that completely destroy the fucking office that we're bored.
Oh, man.
So, Fourth, since you brought it up. Go ahead.
Yeah? No, I was going to just say that was funny.
That one face is just hysterical. And everybody on the fucking office network boards had a field with it. So, Fourth, you brought it up. Why didn't Lawler get fired?
My only guess is maybe that WWE is trying to get probably as far as they can in terms of between PG and 14, that they want to not quite push the envelope, but at least kind of jostle it.
Kind of brush up against it a little bit.
Yep.
So, Trisha, I'm gonna bend your brain a little bit. Does you think Daniel Bryan has a good case for gimmick infringement?
No, I don't think Daniel Bryan has a good case for anything, but I'm not that big of a fan of him. No, it is a little different, I think, compared to Daniel Bryan choking out. Shit, what was that guy's name? Justin Roberts. Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. No gimmick infringement or whatever. This was just King being King, and he didn't get fired because he's already in a storyline, whereas Daniel Bryan was, he was replaceable in Nexus, and that's what they did, so. Nothing wrong here.
Now, what potentially, what led into this tirade, I believe, was the fact that Michael Cole decided to cross, I feel we might have crossed the line, but since we know that this is something that has to be cleared with the guys before they're going to go out there and talk about it, Cole decided to bring up Mother's Day, and in this case, Lawler's recently deceased mother. Now, he didn't insult her, but Brian was, you know, was that a good idea?
You know, this is wrestling. You know, if this was 25, 30 years ago, this would not be an issue, because back in those days, anything that a wrestler did was brought up, because Jerry Lawler wrote in his book, and he said that back in the old days of Memphis, there was a big sign on the booking room that said, "Personal issues draw money." So, it made me uncomfortable, and I actually was at the arena. I saw it live. One of the loudest pops that night was when he got his hands on Michael Cole's tie, and you didn't see it. I could see because I was way up. Every time he hit him, he moved the coal mine forward about a foot. And it was just pow, pow, pow. It was intense. But it crossed the line. I think this is going to be the moment when Michael Cole finally gets his ass handed to him. So they want to make it as sweet as they possibly can.
And to that, I'm going to throw you make an interesting point, Brian, the fact that Lawler was raised wrestling-wise in a culture where even if he had objections, that, you know, they were going to use it, you know, they were going to use it either way. But I think he would have at least enough stroke that if he was uncomfortable, that they would have mixed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things that I wouldn't want it to be done, but if Jerry's okay with it, then I can be okay with it.
Now, Trisha, you had to deal with this on the Bucking Awesome Network boards, and you saw how this went round and round in circles for about 8 pages. What's your take?
Well, I don't know. I'm in an awkward position because I lost my father about 2.5 years ago. So when I see something like this brought up, like, it makes me really uncomfortable. Whether, you know, if Lawler approved of it, then good for him. But there's no need for it, other than to make Michael Cole look like a bad guy, which they've already gotten that point across. So it's, like, because Lawler is cool with it, like, I still don't think it makes it right, and I'm still uncomfortable with it, even if he wasn't. So that's basically why that thread got locked, because it was, well, if Lawler was cool with it, then you should have been cool with it, and it's like, well, that's not the point at all, because I've gone through that, and it and I wouldn't want anyone to talk about my father that way. So, it's for being cool with it, but I don't know. It's a touchy subject, but you can't, you know, pinpoint, oh, this storyline's going to offend this person, that person, that person, that person, therefore we can't do it. Because you only know the audience supposed to have it react, right? So if they're going to pop for something like, oh, he's attacking him because he made fun of his dead mom, then cool. I don't know. I think it's tasteless. I've hated this feud from the beginning, so I'm just waiting for it to be done with.
And I think it will be done with sooner rather than later. I think the WWE realizes this is reaching its apex, because I don't know if any of you watched SmackDown tonight. Did anybody see Karma, after she did the ritualistic bimbo killing, shot a look at Michael Cole? and chased him back into the coal mine.
He just ran right in. He's just trying to bolt the damn thing shut.
Yes. Exactly. So, I mean, I honestly think that what's going to happen, my guess is Lawler's going to beat the living daylights out of him, and he finally gets the Duke, and then Cole's gone for a few weeks nursing his injuries, and he comes back and announces that he's the anonymous general manager. At least then we only had to deal with him for a few minutes on Raw every month, every week, and not for 2 hours.
Oh, don't feed his ego!
I just want Michael Cole to go away. I swore last week that I was going to monitor how long I had the TV muted, but it wasn't. I couldn't measure it fairly because tonight I had zero tolerance for Cole. So as soon as he started ripping on Booker about manager licenses, I hit the mute. As soon as they argued about the mask versus the boots, I think I hit mute. And in the Sin Cara-Daniel Bryan match, I muted it because I really didn't want to hear Cole and discussing whether or not Chavo was a mentor to Sin Cara or not.
By the way, has anybody else noticed that whenever Sin Cara wrestles, they like bathe the ring in blue and gold lights?
Oh man, I thought something screwed up with the lights at first, like a production error. But I noticed it. Yeah.
Why are they doing that? I remember they did something like that. Didn't they do something like that with Glacier when he debuted?
I don't remember. I know that. Didn't they keep the goofy lights up for Boogeyman?
Yeah, they did.
I don't think they did. Oh, they did?
I think they did it for like one or two matches. It was like one of those like 30-second assassinations he did.
Okay. Because I commented on it when Sin Cara faced Swagger, and I thought that was rather odd. But I guess it's something to add. It's something adding to Sin Cara's. And it's, you know, it's kind of cool, but at times it was just, I found it a little distracting. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, it kind of makes, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Trista. I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
No, that was, I didn't see SmackDown, so I was unaware they were doing this in his matches. The end. Continue.
Yeah, honestly, the fact that they're, like, having a special lighting set up for his matches, it kind of makes, they're either trying to really, really push him hard and showcase how different he is, or they're trying to do more of the circus freak mentality. And either way, it just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it feels like if he is going to be a main eventer, then that's something they need to drop quickly, just that whole weird setup.
Although his entrance is really cool.
His entrance is actually awesome, yeah.
And if it gets a pop, you know, go for it.
Yeah. It'll I think it'll go away with time. I think just the fact that they're in the process of building him up, and it looks like Sin Cara and Chavo are heading towards a feud, which I don't think is going to blossom until after Over the Limit. And I think surprisingly this could elevate both of them at the same time. Cuz Chavo being the longtime joke character, having to deal with Hornswoggle, but hey, a guy on TV.
Or having to become a white guy.
Actually, I enjoyed Kerwin White because I thought it was very. Some people might think it's racist. I thought it was actually hilarious, but that's just.
Yeah. I will say that any wrestler who has an interest in him that sounds like Frank Sinatra gets an A in my book. I wake up every morning, yeah!
And the fact that his caddy is now a former world heavyweight champion. I mean, he had to have done something right.
Who is his caddy? I forgot.
Ziggler.
Ah! Former member of the Spirit Squad.
Yes, and I got when I finally met the Ziggler, I gave him a copy of the photograph I took in the Kerwin White when he was walking behind the golf cart on the wall one night, wearing a sweater that I swear he stole from Matt Stryker. But, that aside, where was I? Oh, that's right. I've got some other stuff that's going on. We're going to have to go from the happy-go-lucky stuff into another direction. Specifically, a peek into the infirmary for this week. As you know, Raw had a severe lack of John Morrison, thanks to the self-proclaimed angry black man, R-Truth. He said it.
I love what they're doing with them. I think it's awesome. What got me is when during the whole thing, how his eyes kept bulging out, and he legitimately looked like he was about to just break bad on somebody.
At first, I didn't like his what's the deal with hospital food, but given how he made it sound like there was a point to why he did it, it was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah. And that line, when an angry black man be talking, y'all need to shut it up.
Trista, did you notice that Miz started laughing when he said that?
No, I didn't. When Truth was talking, like, I'm watching him, and I'm just picturing him in, like, a movie, but he would be, like, the gay best friend. That's just, like, the vibe I got from, like, his actions and how he was talking. I'm like, he should be in that new Bridesmaids movie. I don't think that's what they were going for.
I don't think I'll ever look at the alliance of Miz and Riley the same way again. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I texted it to my friend, too. Like he watches Raw on, like, Wednesday or something, so I'll text him during Raw, but, like, I can't spoil anything. And, like, that's all I texted him, and he was like, what the hell? Like, what is he doing? And I'm like, oh, I can't tell you. You'll have to wait until Wednesday.
That's one of the funniest things I've heard today.
But just go back and watch that promo and think of that, and then you'll see where I'm coming from. But my mind works differently.
But watch that the angry black man line. Miz actually started laughing. He's corpsing! Anyway,
Sin for the man! Do 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 do.
Because I just rewatched it earlier tonight, and that cracked me up. But I had ended up with a double dose of R-Truth since I had the privilege of going to a very rare Tuesday night Raw house show, which was on the campus of Northern Kentucky University in Highland Heights, Ohio. Highland Heights, Kentucky, excuse me. But it's right over the Ohio-Kentucky border, so nice little place. The other reason I'm bringing this up is because Cena decided to have a little fun on Twitter. And so he decided he was going to promote his broski on top of this. So he puts out a tweet and says, I want to see how many people actually read this. At 6 o'clock Tuesday night, I'm going to show up in the parking lot outside of the Bank of Kentucky Center at NKU. And whoever has the best John Cena and Zack Ryder sign will get free tickets to the show. True to his word. He did this. I was in line waiting to go inside, and there were still about 100 people out by the fence in the top of the hill waiting to see if this was going to happen. Sure enough, he comes barging out of his bus, runs up the hill, picks out a sign, and gives them something to go over to the will call window to pick up their tickets. And they come running past me, and one of the gals stops and says, never mind, I got to tweet about this. To this, Punk actually tweeted. I don't remember the line, though. I don't think anybody else here does Twitter.
Hey. I just I just follow the faux creative Twitters of WWE and TNA.
Okay. Tristan, you do?
I tweet.
Yeah. I'm on it. Hang on.
Liam? Made a snide remark about this little publicity speech of Cena. And I don't remember.
I remember seeing it, but it was something like an I'll be outside laughing at them or something like that.
Pretty much.
It was something punk like. Here he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Few more minutes. Don't mind me.
Okay. But yeah, he essentially said, "Yeah, I'll." You know, and the fact that Punk just did not care at this show. He showed up in a hoodie and shorts and sneakers, and that's how he came out for his match where he seconded Mason Ryan against the Big Show. To his credit, he did a wonderful promo where he hit the ring and held up a piece of paper with doctor's note written all in caps. Saying that he had this doctor's note to let everybody know that he was not wrestling tonight because his doctor discovered he was allergic to rednecks. Gets better. Mason Ryan takes his Punk's shirt off and hands it over. Punk hops out of the ring and he keeps the shirt handy and sneezes into it about every couple of minutes. Match gets going. It gets better. Show starts beating on Mason Ryan. Mason powders out and goes back over to Punk because he doesn't know what to do next because he only knows four moves. So what does Punk do? Punk wipes Mason Ryan down with the shirt.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Punk, you are a doofus. You'd be a dick, but you're a doofus.
I found the tweet.
Please, and I quote.
He put, WWE fans in Highland Heights, Kentucky, if you bring signs for Cena Ryder, I will be in the parking lot to point and laugh at you. So, there
you go. I didn't look to see if he was, but like I said, at this show, he really did not care. But this was a pretty light show in itself. So, but I had to tell the story about Punk sneezing into Mason Ryan's shirt. That's just
that's disgusting.
By the way, does anybody else think that CM Punk really is going to leave?
I hope not.
I hope not either, but to be honest, the way he was acting at this house show, I really think he's on cruise control right now.
Seems like it's been on cruise control.
I mean,
given the way that WWE wants a stage name badly, it does seem like that he's probably on his way out, at least for a while.
I just, I think what they should do is if they can get him back to the table, all he really wanted was a little bit of time off because he's just been go, go, go since he came in. So if they're not going to put him in a main event feud, then go ahead and stretcher him and give him a couple of months to get his head back on straight, figure out what he wants to do, and then bring him back, and then get him back in there because he's, they could really use him down the line because he's one of these guys. He's practically in the Jericho role right now, where he's one or two matches away from any belt. He could believably walk into any belt feud right now and win a title off of somebody,
which is a good spot to be in, but when you don't utilize the guy the way that you should, like, it just makes him look like a chump. They should give him a stable that works. Straight Edge Society didn't last long. They fired everyone from there, and then they gave him the new Nexus, and they were gone in like a month. if you're going to use him in, like, a somewhat manager role, then pick a stable. Pick guys that are somewhat established, like maybe some FCW guys, like Seth Rollins, and, you know, have guys that can work, but then also have guys that maybe are experienced enough and they still need Punk. Like, if you're not going to use him as a wrestler, you should use him as a manager, because you'd be good at that.
I just don't understand what not using him as a wrestler. I mean, is his hip still bothering him? Has anybody heard?
He hasn't wrestled much lately.
I know. So I'm wondering if his hip is still bugging him, which might be, you know, might be another, you know, another thing that's really gotten him soured. And taking a look at the fact that, you know, they had those, you know, the fact that they just lost Edge, the fact that we've got John Morrison for 4 to 6 weeks for very minor neck surgery. Apparently what it was a severely pinched nerve, and they went in there and got it unpinched and moved out of the way of where it could get pinched again.
Yeah, from what I can read, he really lucked out about that.
Yeah, yeah. He tweeted a few pics with the hospital, you know, that the hospital food jokes are legit. Let's see. This one is not really correctly. Do we have the MMA make one here tonight? I know VRM's not here, so. While I did not hear this from my dear Uncle Paul, I know that he is dealing with it at the moment, that his prize client, Brock Lesnar, is laid up again because his diverticulitis came back.
Oh, man.
He's been pulled from his bout at, I think, UFC 133. I still have the notes. Give me a second.
131,
thank you.
Yeah, so it won't be the next UFC event, but the one after, because he just did 129 a few weeks ago in Toronto with GSP.
Okay. Yep, here it is. Brock Lesnar versus Dos Santos fight is off. Shane Carwin, who defeated Lesnar a few UFCs back, will be replacing him at 131. But this just sucks. I mean, Lesnar is a beast who's been helping get UFC on the map. While Dana White's not his biggest fan, he cannot deny some of the crossover he's getting and the fans that are coming in because they recognize that name from the Fed. So,
exactly.
I don't know what the plan is for him. Let me see if I have the other article still. Let's see. He's not happy that he's pulling out of the fight. The good news so far is that the diverticulitis flare-up is not life-threatening at this time. It is something that never goes away. He just doesn't, you know, he does not want this taken away from him.
You can't blame him for not wanting to be taken away from him. Like, the dude works hard. He's really helped out.
He has.
He's a great draw for UFC for sure, but I don't think he's helped them, you know, gain a bigger audience or anything. But he's definitely one of their bigger draws, and for them to keep losing him like this, it sucks on both ends.
So, this just really sucks, but it could put him in a couple of bad situations. I was talking with a UFC fan this afternoon, and he mentioned that if they have to actually go in and do surgery and Lesnar ends up with a ileostomy or a colonostomy bag, they're not going to let him back in the ring for that. It's just messy. That just sounds absolutely...
Yeah.
Who's getting beat up in the background?
It's probably some interference from me. I don't know. Just walked by. Something gave me interference earlier.
Oh, okay. No big deal. Ooh.
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my pager.
Which means you only get 160 characters at a time.
He is short and to the point. Just like me.
Sit out, Michael Cole. But that just tells us we are at our midway point in the show. And so we must now take some time for some very necessary shilling. As you are listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It's helpful.
You will be living like a king. I guarantee it.
It's intelligent.
I just assume that birth control was treated the same way they handled everything else back then. With leeches.
It's just plain weird.
Schmuckers, how sweet it is inside those armpits, I tell you.
It's the CLW 83 Night Shift.
The answer to the question that America wants to know. Am I wearing pants? And I believe Carl has somebody for us. Who do you got, Carl? Got nothing, just like always. Okay.
You prick.
So we're going to go ahead and see if we could bring in the callers. And
yes,
let's
yes,
see
yes.
if he's run off somewhere.
Please hang up, try your call again, or contact...
The CLW 83 Night Shift. New show Saturday, May 21st at 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
Same time, same place, same horrible jokes.
Only on the CLW 83 Network.
Hi, this is Tyler Round, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Blah!
And we're back, as I mentioned earlier, with this North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We have not changed the lineup, so I am not reintroducing anybody. But where were we? Let's see. Ah, yes. I'm going to do something that I don't typically do on this show, and that's actually talk a little TNA. Or is it Impact Wrestling? Is that official yet?
Well... apparently the name of the company is still TNA, it's just that they basically extended the name of the show to Impact Wrestling.
And does anybody watch it to see if they're actually holding to their promise of more wrestling?
There was a little bit more wrestling, but more needs to be done.
Yeah, it's not going to change all in one night.
Well, I know that they were...
trying to change the landscape for the upteenth time this past week with two re-debuts. In this case, the return of Wildcat Chris Harris and the TNA debut of Chyna as Kurt Angle's mistress. So, do I have anybody here who got to see this happen?
I got to see Chyna make her debut.
I didn't get to see Chris Harris, but from what I can tell, he is not that far removed from his Braden Walker days.
I was afraid of that. Running gag is that Walker is Braden Walker. Chris Harris is there to make Matt Hardy look skinny. Wow.
I feel like if James Storm's in Beer Money, then Chris Harris is in Cocoa Butter.
Oh.
Sorry about your damn gut.
Just for that, I have to throw mine in. He's going to try to make himself into an icon as the Hollywood Heavy Harris. But wrapping big potatoes in the background. Back up. So I'll throw this out here. The return of Chris Harris, good or bad? I know that he came out to AMW's old music, but I don't see James Storm breaking up Beer Money just for the sake of teaming up with his old cohort.
No, this will probably be the start of a feud. And you know, these guys at one time, they were the PWI Tag Team of the Year. That title doesn't mean much anymore, but they were the Tag Team of the Year. And, you know, if he can get motivated, these guys could have some real good matches. If they're smart enough to play up their past, which they've got to be. I mean, not even Vince Russo is that stupid. So, you know, I mean, it could be a good thing, but it's like the whole Christian thing. Yeah, I had to wait and see.
And I've heard some mixed reviews about Chyna. Some people said that she looked like she was bored out of her mind being there. Some people said she was at least trying. To me, she just looks like a Photoshop of Cher with Miss Jacqueline's boobs. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, the one thing that I couldn't draw my eyes away from was her chin. Man, that chin is jutting out. She looked a little bit like Jay Leno's chin.
Ooh, that's not a good look for anyone.
That's just it. The chin.
But yeah, she has had way, way too much cosmetic surgery.
And given that she wasn't all that great in the ring to begin with, you know, I don't know if they're expecting her to wrestle or if they're just going to expect her to continue to be Angle's arm candy. Or, I mean, she's been away from the ring for a decade, as far as I know. Has she done it? Did she do any other wrestling between when she left the Fed back in 01 now?
If I remember correctly, she did. She briefly had a run in Japan, and she wrestled a gimmick that was supposed to be reminiscent of Lucy Lawless as Xena Warrior Princess, but she was called Chyna Doll. And she had maybe a few dates in 2002, but after that, I don't think she's done anything.
And no, the videos don't count.
I was about to say. You know, I didn't want to eat tonight. Thank you. I appreciate that.
was that on my part? So, But apparently the curiosity and the spoilers that got around gave TNA the typical, oh, what kind of train wreck is this bomb? And actually got them up to a 1.3.
Whoa, TNA. Whoa.
Should we be scared? Or should we just, you know, just go ahead and say even with the pay-per-view this weekend, they're going to drop back down to 1-1 next week?
It probably will.
Yeah, it does feel like the way that it's usually been, and after the immediate interest, people kind of just see what's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's that old song of the Talking Head, same as it ever was.
Yeah.
So, as I said, you know, until the wrestling improves, I was talking to our former host, Mr. Seidelman, at the over the phone before the show started. They're going to have to do a lot of really, really good shows to get me to come back. And so far, you know, I've heard they're getting better. It's gonna take a lot for them to get for that turnaround for me. They've had two shows. Granted, it's over a course of about 6 months, but they've had two shows that have had less than 10 minutes of wrestling in the course of 2 hours. That is inexcusable.
Exactly.
If you have wrestling in your name or wrestling as your chosen vocation, I actually want to see some of that during the show. I mean, am I asking for too much?
No, you're not. You're not.
Okay. I mean, someone like Trista, who's a big ROH fan, and in fact, did you see ROH or did you actually attend an event?
I attended an event last Saturday, and it was awesome. I was right there at the entrance. That's where I was.
Did you get to meet Jim Cornette?
No, I've met him before, though. Well, I didn't really meet him. Like, my friend did, and I was standing in line with him, and Jim Cornette was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I was like, hi. And that's my story about meeting Jim Cornette. So yeah. He's a pretty nice dude.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, don't work with him, I guess. I'm sorry. Or if he gets mad at you, he'll threaten to kill you.
Well, I've never worked with him, but I've had a couple of good conversations with him, which is odd because I don't think he and my dear uncle got along very well. But he and I have a mutual friend in OPW manager. His name's out of my head.
Is it Kenny Bolin?
Thank you, Star Maker Kenny Bolin. When I ran into Corny at a TNA fan festival, I mentioned Kenny, and he said, yeah, I know him, and I've worked with him. And he was actually helping Mr. Bolin, who is not exactly the skinniest guy in the world, trying to help this man lose weight. And I said, Corny, you're a Deep South guy. What do you know about healthy cooking? And he chuckled. No. I've been helping Kenny along. In fact, I got him to lose 35 pounds. And I said, 35 pounds off of Kenny Bolin and throwing two deck chairs off the Titanic.
Well, speaking of Vince Russo, Nikki, I sent you an email. I mean, I sent you a message earlier. On the 25th of May, they are releasing a WCW DVD set, WWE is, called The Best of Monday Nitro. And I sent you the match listing. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, we do need to take a quick look at this. They were able to get their hands on Diamond Dallas Page to be the host of this show. And this covers a lot of a very broad stretch of Nitro going all the way back from Flying Brian Pillman and Jushin Thunder Liger in 95.
And that was from the first ever Nitro, because I remember I watched it.
A handful of NWO stuff, of course.
perhaps the entirety of Jericho's 1,004 holds promo. I'm just kidding. Let's see. Singing Diamond in Dallas Page, 99. Let's see. They have the Starcade match, a.k.a. Bret Hart's last wrestling match. I don't count the WrestleMania match because that was not a wrestling match. That was a fight.
What about SummerSlam last year? Who's in that match?
For a few minutes. But this was, okay, his last one-on-one affair.
There we go. Let them continue.
Okay. Of which I saw a preview of at a house show in Daytona Beach a couple of weeks before this happened. So I got to see one of Bret's last one-on-one matches. Another thing that is very intriguing is that they do go ahead and show the relaunch when Bischoff and Russo took over everything in April 2000.
Otherwise known as the infamous Grand Reboot.
Yes.
I'm buying the DVD set just for that.
I was looking to see if I... Go ahead, Ford.
I was going to ask if this will even include Eric Bischoff's attempt at cutting an inside joke.
Don't know, but I was thinking. They don't have any of the... any of my favorite stuff from 2000, which was the Misfits in Action. The Misfits in Action Team Canada feud, which was so much fun, because I honestly don't think anybody in the back while they were doing, and just let them go out there and have some fun.
Yeah. You know, if you're not going to include General Hugh G. Rection or Major Stash, then what's the point, really?
I mean, the fact that they have the good general working on Tough Enough right now, and that Lieutenant Loco still has a job.
Yep.
And that's allowed. He might hear you, but I think he's more focused on the fact that he has a bad broadcast.
Michael Cole has lost his damn mind.
Has lost his damn mind. By the way, I got to see a small preview of it. They posted like a 2-minute preview on YouTube. They actually pulled out of mothballs the old steel WCW logo, and that's what Bishop. That's what DDP talks in front of.
Very cool.
Yes. I remember actually going to a Nitro in 1996. It came to the Civic Coliseum, and it was the only time I ever got to see Hulk Hogan live, and it was actually kind of cool. They did about 2 hours of dark matches before the actual Nitro broadcast started, and because I don't know if you guys remember this, but on TNT they used to do like a live insert. And they would like have them standing in front of it and have Gene Okerlund saying, "Monday Nitro is live from Knoxville, Tennessee." And they would do that, and they always would be cheering and everything. And it was so funny. We have a local, how do I use this word diplomatically? Gentlemen's club.
Oh, dear.
Where the women disrobe in a somewhat sensual manner called the Mouse's Ear.
Alright.
Now, when I was a little kid, I didn't know what this was. But they did the whole thing, and Gene Okerlund gets the microphone and goes, "You know, ladies and gentlemen, I came to Knoxville, Tennessee yesterday, and I remember having a nice dinner at this great steakhouse you have called the mouse's ear. And every male in the audience went, yay!
That's just not right.
Nah, it wasn't. You know, I pictured Gene Okerlund having a much, much wilder life than any of us have ever had. Very few people in life are that straight-laced.
I remember the last WCW event I went to was a double taping where they did Nitro and Thunder in the same night.
Yeah, that was like, that was like 4 hours long, wasn't it?
It was just too bloody long. And the fact that I, as a graduate of Florida State University, had to soil my shoes walking on the campus of the University of Florida, attend this event. However, I was there for a piece of history. I was at the very last Thunder. And I was at essentially the second to last Nitro, where during the show, they took a phone call from Eric Bischoff.
I remember that saying that he'd hit a couple of brick walls.
Yeah, and he sounded like he had been up for two or three days. He sounded horrendously and utterly defeated.
I remember that. Well, if you ever read the book that R.D. wrote, which if you're a wrestling fan, I recommend, it's The Death of WCW, he apparently spent days on the phone with every cable network he possibly could, trying desperately to negotiate and to get them to move Nitro. Say what you will about him, the man worked his fingers to the bone trying to save that company when it was in its dying days. But, you know, it was like using a bucket to try to bail the Titanic. You know, you couldn't save it at that point.
But if anybody is interested in this DVD, it will be released on May 25th.
Yes, it will. So if the world does not come to an end on May 21st, we'll have something to watch.
Yay, May 21st, that's my birthday. Sorry. I get excited.
And May 21st, I will be on the road. Myself and Super will be attending Victory Independent Pro Wrestling in Owosso, Michigan. I will not be managing Super Oprah, but she don't need no managing for the talk show she's been doing up there that got rave reviews, including from the promoters. So we were invited back, and we have work up there through the summer. Thank you very much.
Now, by the way, I want to ask you something real quick, Nikki.
Sure.
We just upgraded our DirecTV service, and it is, in fact, awesome. So we get like 100 sports channels, and one of them is called Sport Ohio. They have a promotion. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, they have a promotion that's going to be coming on the air in about an hour called Pro Wrestling Ohio. Have you heard of this group?
I have. They're a group out of the Cleveland area. It's a decent promotion. The production values are okay. If this is the same group I'm thinking of, their camera work is a little suspect, but some of the stuff that they do is actually pretty good.
Okay, I was going to watch them tonight because I'm all over the independents. So, you know, I love the independents more than anything. So we will. I'll be checking them out.
Please do. I think you'll enjoy them.
Okay. Good. I was just looking over the listing here, and it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks as solid as you could make it. What I'm noticing is that, like, it's like interspersed after a few matches, they'll have like a little. They have like names of, like, some of these documentary segments, and one of them is called "Migrating to Hotlanta." One called "Bada Bing." Wonder who that's going to be about. And I love this one here at the very end: "Last Ditch Effort." It should be good, but I don't mean to take over your show, hon. I apologize for that.
That's all right. I'll beat you up later.
Yeah, I'll remember to lock the doors tonight.
So, let's see. In our last couple of minutes, I'm going to touch briefly on the Orton Christian situation. So, I'm going to give everybody a minute here to work on this. Since these two are going to be facing each other at Over the Limit, I'll start with you, Trista, since you haven't gotten much time, you haven't been able to talk much tonight. Who turns?
Christian to do the poor me, I was champion and now I'm not, that means nobody cares about me gimmick.
Okay. Fourth, who turns?
I'm not sure anyone's turning yet, but I would probably stay to watch within the next few weeks after that to see what they're going to do with it.
Brian, I know it's early into this, but who do you think turns?
Orton. And the only reason why is for the past few years, they've been playing up the whole gimmick that Randy Orton is this cold, unfeeling monster who all he cares about is being the champion. Because what he said on SmackDown, he said something like, what was it? He said, you say that you weren't 100% the night we wrestled. I want you to be 100%. That sort of thing. So I think Orton's going to turn and go back to the head-kicking, baby-slapping heel that we all know and love that Randy Orton should be.
I think because he's growing a beard of evil, that's the only thing he can do at this point.
I didn't notice that, but you're right.
That's a good point.
So, and it's a shaggy, ugly mess of a beard of evil, but once it's fully grown in, look out. Of course, it's going to interfere with his other growth.
Baby oil!
All right, let's get it in before we call it a night, folks.
I do want to say that beard, and the fact he's always greasy and doesn't actually wear real pants, just, it's scary.
Yeah, I think he's going to start scaring the kids, which is more his forte. So guys, I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover tonight.
Kind of a thin week for wrestling this week.
It was. But that's a good thing. We need slow weeks. We've got just a little bit of news, but personally, Hero, I know you don't listen to my show, but I hope you and your girlfriend recover, regardless of what caused your accident. And Jomo, I'm looking forward to your return, even if it's just you getting into a feud with R-Truth. Rock, just get better. You need to be kicking ass somewhere. We just need you to get better. So, on behalf of Trista Timpson, Brian Henniger, and, of course, Mr. Forth, my name is Mickey Heyman. We have done all that we can do for the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. So, with that, I say good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, and as always, make sure you hit them with the folding chair.
CLW83.com is your source for everything CLW83. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLW83network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.